I tell you, this story is so fascinating and dramatic that no novel, no play, no widescreen motion picture or television story can compare with it. Let's hear a little more about justice and peace and about this great Messiah from chapter 9, verse 7 in the book of Isaiah.
Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice.
Note the words, with justice.
And with justice from henceforth even forever.
Baha'u'llah reminded the people of this very prophecy of Isaiah. You will find it on pages 78-79 of The Promised Day Has Come. Baha'u'llah said to them, I'm quoting now, the most great law is come, and the ancient beauty ruleth upon the throne of David. Thus hath my pen spoken that which the histories of bygone ages have revealed. End of quotation. Let us clearly understand that this prophecy about the house of the Lord means much more than just the fulfillment of the prophecy of Baha'u'llah's coming, wonderful as that is. It plainly means that this house of the Lord would be a house in which the followers of the Promised One would come and would work for the good of mankind in those last days. Yes, the remnant of God, those who believed in him, would return to Israel and would work in the house of the Lord. The scriptures say so. It is called not only the house of the Lord, but the house of the Lord of hosts. On page 95 of God Passes By, we are reminded that the Lord of hosts was one of the titles of Baha'u'llah. We're quoting now.
Of him, Baha'u'llah, David had sung in his psalms, acclaiming him as the Lord of hosts and the King of glory.
End of quotation. The Old Testament prophet Haggai, speaking of the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, chapter 1, points out that there would be troublemakers who would say, I'm quoting his words now, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. End of quotation. When that happens, the Lord of hosts warns such people, saying, consider your ways. How well that applies to those who say the same thing about the time not being right now for the return of Christ or the building of the house. These words are from verses 13 and 14.
Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts.
Yes, Baha'u'llah raised up the house of the Lord and called it a house of justice. He said that it would last down through the ages, bringing to mankind, in the very words of Isaiah, justice from henceforth even forever. Now tell me if you've ever heard anything like that before in all your life. Well, beloved friends, that ends our session for today, and on what a high note.
It brings us to the close of the third day of our study class about Baha'u'llah, the glory of God, the promised one of all religions. This means we're halfway through.
I promise you that what is yet to come is even more exciting than what you've already heard. Can you believe it? Well, it's true. The longer you are a Baha'i, the more wonderful your faith becomes. It's almost too beautiful and too wonderful to believe, but it's true. I know your friends will have many questions. Happily, the Baha'i faith has excellent answers to share with them. Baha'u'llah, as Christ promised, has brought to light the hidden things of darkness. Everything is open and clear. Those of you who are not yet Baha'is, if you have heard these first three study classes and have followed along carefully, right now you know enough to become a follower of Baha'u'llah. You needn't wait any longer. If in your heart you really believe in Baha'u'llah and want to become a Baha'i, you are ready. There is, of course, much more to know, and the Baha'is will be happy to tell you all about it. You will learn about the institutions, the laws, the principles. There are many wonderful things to learn.
But if you sincerely believe in Baha'u'llah, that he is the promised messenger of God for today, that is the foundation upon which everything else can be built. It means you are now ready to enter his radiant spiritual army.
Today, right now, you can learn all the things you need to know to become a follower of Baha'u'llah. So ask the Baha'is who are here with you. course, it's only the beginning. There's a whole new, wonderful, exciting life ahead of you. But the beginning is this. Baha'u'llah is the return of Christ. He is the shepherd of God's worldwide flock today, the promised one. Upon that belief, as Marguerite said, upon that sincere belief, everything else can be built. So welcome to the world's most wonderful family. Perhaps we'll be fellow Baha'is when next we meet, and that will be tomorrow.
This is the fourth day in our week-long study class on the prophecies fulfilled by the coming of Baha'u'llah, the founder of the Baha'i faith. To begin our fourth session, we have asked the Baha'i chorus to sing for us once again. This is a song that is filled with the spirit of prophecy, as you will soon see.
Marguerite,
yes.
Before the chorus sings this song, I wonder if I might just say a few words about it.
Of course.
The song is written about Baha'u'llah, of course, the Prince of Peace. It is about Baha'u'llah's coming to the prison city of Akka. We've already talked about these places, as you know. Isaiah and Hosea both prophesied about these places, prophecies which Baha'u'llah has fulfilled. It is sung by the Baha'i chorus under the direction of Mr. Russell Garcia. And that's another wonderful story.
I should say so.
Russell, with his wife Gina Garcia, left their home in America and have been sailing through the islands of the South Pacific Ocean, visiting all those places mentioned in the writings of Abdu'l-Bahá as places to which the message of Baha'u'llah should be carried. And that is what Mr. and Mrs. Garcia are doing. They are carrying the message of the Blessed Beauty Baha'u'llah, the glory of God, to the places and to the peoples in those remote islands of the South Pacific. So that makes it quite a song, doesn't it? So let's begin the fourth day of our study class with this beautiful song about Baha'u'llah, the glory of God, the Prince of Peace.
They call him the Prince of Peace. They call him the Prince of Peace. From Constantinople to Adrianople, to Akka, the prison by the sea.
There lived a man across the ocean. There lived a man across the sea. He spoke of love. He spoke of justice. Spoke to man of unity.
They called him the Prince of Peace. They called him the Prince of Peace. From Constantinople to Adrianople, to Akka, the prison by the sea.
His teaching spread from kings to laymen. His teaching spread to all mankind. His teaching stood in all religions and left no hopeless soul behind.
They called him the Prince of Peace. They called him the Prince of Peace. From Constantinople to Adrianople, to Akka, the prison by the sea.
Remember, I told you earlier in the study class that Baha'u'llah himself said that he was the one about whom Isaiah was speaking in the Old Testament. Let us use this one prophecy of Isaiah about the Prince of Peace to show you how true these words are. This famous reference to the Prince of Peace comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, prophecy.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
That prophecy is often read in Christian churches on Christmas Day. The prophecy is taken to be a reference to Christ, even though most of the things in the prophecy do not apply to His Holiness Christ. Now let's look at the prophecy once again. Now that the books have been unsealed, let us examine it phrase by phrase and see exactly to whom it does refer. Prophecy.
The government shall be upon his shoulder.
Christ made it clear that this certainly did not apply to him. Christ said, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." Christ also said, "My kingdom is not of this world." But with Baha'u'llah, the government is upon his shoulder. Baha'u'llah undertook the entire reorganization of human society. He provided the institutions necessary to maintain it, as well as the authority and the guidance for its future. There are Baha'i local assemblies and national assemblies in all parts of the planet. There is an international democratically elected supreme administrative body called the Universal House of Justice, established in the Holy Land, on the very mountain that Isaiah talked about. We've already heard part of that story. And as you know, that Universal House of Justice guides the worldwide affairs of the Baha'i faith today. Christ said that his kingdom was not of this world. In his Lord's Prayer, Christ made it clear that the kingdom of God would appear on earth in the last days.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven.
The beginning of this kingdom of God on earth has already taken place. The Baha'i faith, guided by the teachings of Baha'u'llah, has already begun to establish this Christ-promised kingdom of God on earth in every continent, in over 300 countries, territories, and islands, and in some 50,000 centers, more than 50,000 centers, all around the world. And it's only the beginning. These figures are already obsolete as the Baha'i faith goes from victory to victory. Baha'u'llah himself wrote, "Followers of the gospel, the Father hath come. That which ye were promised in the kingdom of God is fulfilled." In yet another place, the Baha'i writings speak of Baha'u'llah's Christ-promised kingdom of God on earth. What about the next phrase in this prophecy of Isaiah, Marguerite?
And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God.
Almost all of these phrases Christ himself specifically repudiated, didn't he?
Yes, of course.
It's as though Christ wanted to make certain that such mistaken references to himself would not mislead people in the day of his return. Christ disclaimed being the Mighty God when he called himself the Son of God. Christ was not the Counselor. His message was a beautiful one of love to the individual, to draw mankind back to God. Baha'u'llah, on the other hand, was the Counselor. His message was one of justice for society. It was for all mankind. Baha'u'llah himself wrote of his counsels to the rulers of men. He even called them that, counsels, saying,
O kings of the earth, if ye pay no heed unto the counsels which we have revealed, the sentence of his, God's justice, shall be pronounced against you. Have mercy on yourselves and on those beneath you.
End of quotation. You will find this entire letter to the kings of the earth on pages 20-23 of a book called The Promised Day Is Come. What about the next phrase of Isaiah's prophecy?
The Everlasting Father.
Well, if there's anything clear, it is this, that Christ did not consider himself the Father. Jesus continually differentiated between himself and the Father. In many such references, such as, Him that sent me, My Father is greater than I go unto the Father. I will pray the Father, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me. Jesus made it abundantly clear that no prophecy about the Father could refer to him. Christ even stated specifically that the Father had knowledge which was not possessed by the Son, saying,
But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father.
Although it is plain that in most of these references Christ is speaking of God when he speaks of the Father, even so, Jesus made it equally plain that just as he, Christ, had come in the station of the Son, the time would come in the last days when he, Christ, would return in the station of the Father. He told us this in the 8th chapter of Mark, verse 38.
When he, the Son of Man, cometh in the glory of his Father.
Matthew, in the 25th chapter of his book, says plainly that this will be the day when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Watch therefore, Christ warned his followers, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And so that you will without doubt know that Baha'u'llah did tell the world of Christianity that he was the Father, the one foretold by Christ, let me share with you a few more of his words. These words were written to one of the supreme heads of Christianity, Pope Pius IX of Rome. These are the words of Baha'u'llah. The word which the Son Jesus concealed is made manifest. It hath been sent down in the form of a human temple in this day. Blessed be the Lord who is the Father. He verily is come unto the nations in his most great majesty. This is the day whereon the rock Peter crieth out and shouteth, saying, Lo, the Father is come, and that which ye were promised in the kingdom is fulfilled. All right. Now, Marguerite, what about that last phrase in the prophecy of Isaiah? What did Isaiah say?
He said, And his name shall be called the Prince of Peace.
All right, now we're down to it. The Prince of Peace, not Christ, surely. Jesus in Matthew 10:34 said plainly, Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Christ also said, Luke 12:51, Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. Baha'u'llah, on the other hand, did come to bring peace on earth. Baha'u'llah gave us the laws, the principles, the agencies, the institutions, and the teachings in his many volumes of his writings by which world peace could be established and permanently secured for all men. To a famous Christian scholar and Orientalist, E.G. Brown of Cambridge University, who met Baha'u'llah in Israel, when he, Baha'u'llah, was there as a prisoner, Baha'u'llah said plainly,
These ruinous wars shall pass away, and the most great peace shall come.
Let me share with you a few more words of Baha'u'llah on this subject, so there can be no doubt about his call to the rulers of the world for peace. On page 26 of The Promised Day Is Come, Baha'u'llah says, O rulers of the earth, be reconciled among yourselves, that ye may need no more armaments save in a measure to safeguard your territories and dominions. Beware lest ye disregard the counsels of the all-knowing, the faithful. End of quotation. And yet again, quote, My object, this is Baha'u'llah speaking, my object is none other than the betterment of the world and the tranquility of its peoples. The well-being of mankind, its peace and security, are unattainable unless and until its unity is firmly established. This unity can never be achieved so long as the counsels which the pen of the Most High hath revealed are suffered to pass unheeded. End of quotation. And so we see peace, disarmament, and once again the counsels of the counselor in the words of Baha'u'llah. In the book Gleanings from the Writings of Baha'u'llah, pages 249-250, Baha'u'llah speaks again of world peace, words written some 100 years ago, mind you. These are his words.
The time must come when the imperative necessity for the holding of a vast and all-embracing assemblage of men will be universally realized. The rulers and kings of the earth must needs attend it, and, participating in its deliberations, must consider such ways and means as will lay the foundation of the world's great peace among men. Such a peace demandeth that the great powers should resolve, for the sake of the tranquility of the peoples of the earth, to be fully reconciled among themselves.